across the region. 65 in Park Rapids, 63, still some fog around the area in Grand Rapids. Coming up right now, it is time for the World Cafe here on KAXC on the river with Ironsides at 1.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Today on World Cafe, it's a supersized hour featuring Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. We'll dive into Tweedy's new book, World Within a Song, Music That Changed My Life and Life That Changed My Music, a collection of essays on songs from across the spectrum. Tweedy will talk about the first song that turned him onto the power of music.
That riff sounds so good on a guitar so quickly for most people that I think it's a real gateway drug to the magic of playing an instrument.
And how his tastes have broadened over time.
Generally, the best bands had just curiosity about the world. They were more interested than just hearing things that sounded like what they did.
And then we'll head to the stage for a mini concert with Wilco, playing songs from their latest album, Cousin. I'm addicted. It's Jeff Tweedy coming up in an encore edition of the World Cafe.
KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. A 35-year-old woman died in a three-vehicle car crash in Virginia on Friday. The Mesabi Tribune says the crash on 2nd Avenue North was reported just before 3 p.m. Law enforcement found one of the drivers unresponsive, and she did not appear to be breathing. She was later pronounced dead. The two other drivers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The Tribune reported Friday that the crash was still under investigation. The University of Minnesota's service workers' impending strike has made headlines over the past few weeks, but some Grand Rapids residents may have been surprised to see a picket line when the strike began Tuesday. Six members of Teamsters Local 320 picketed alongside Highway 169. They do maintenance, grounds, and agricultural work at the U's North Central Research and Outreach Center, which shares a campus with Minnesota North College Itasca. The six are just a small part of the open-ended strike. Some 1,400 workers across at least 8 campuses are asking for fair wages and other protections. The university says the demands are, quote, unrealistic in today's financial landscape. Billy O'Brien has been a maintenance and operations mechanic for 3 years and has worked at Nickrock for 10. He says they're striking for equal pay and standardized contracts to increase future negotiating leverage. But they're also out there to fight for college campus workers that haven't gotten the treatment he says they deserve.
We were close to negotiating a good contract. I felt there's just a little bit more that some of the people feel that the university can give. And we're going to try to get that. So
the union says over 80% of workers rejected the university's last offer Friday. Minnesota is joining a growing list of Democratic-leaning states standing up for access to vaccines. Governor Tim Walz issued an executive order Monday. It directs the state departments of health and commerce to figure out how to make sure Minnesotans keep receiving vaccines. The order comes amid quickly changing federal recommendations under Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a prominent anti-vaxxer. The Minnesota Reformer reports that Colorado, Massachusetts, New Mexico, New York, and Pennsylvania issued similar orders after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said it would limit who can get the COVID-19 vaccine. According to a news release from Walz, Minnesota pharmacists can still give the vaccine, regardless of the recommendations. The reformer says Walz's order is slightly less aggressive than other states. The health department's medical director should issue an order on COVID vaccine access within the next 2 weeks. The department's health insurers and providers have to meet by October 6th to come up with a plan to address barriers to vaccine access. Zebra mussels have been confirmed in 3 more northern Minnesota lakes. The Department of Natural Resources announced the finding of adult zebra mussels in Roosevelt Lake in Outing and Swan Lake in Pengilly on Tuesday, as well as the discovery of veligers in White Earth Lake near White Earth. White Earth Nation invasive species staff found the veligers or larvae in water samples. The discovery suggests a reproducing population, though adult zebra mussels have not yet been found. The DNR reminds boaters that clean, drain, dry rules are state law. Find more on preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species at mndnr.gov/AIS. The Minnesota Department of Transportation is hosting an open house on Highway 169 road safety improvements. The agency is looking at the four-lane stretches of the road in Itasca County. The goal of the safety audit is to identify safety issues and propose short, medium, and long-term strategies to address them. Staff will be at the open house at the Nyberg Community Center in Coleraine to answer questions and hear feedback. The event starts at 5 p.m. Thursday with a short presentation at 5:15. Find more information and other ways to comment at kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Welcome one, welcome all. I'm Kaleo. It's World Cafe. Thanks for joining us for this encore. Creativity eats darkness. That's what Jeff Tweedy, frontman of Wilco, says, talking about his new album, Twilight Override. Creativity, not in short supply for the singer, songwriter, and author, due out October 26th, Twilight Override is a triple album featuring 30 new songs. Before it releases, we thought it'd be a good idea to revisit our 2023 chat with Tweedy. He just released his book, World Within a Song, Music That Changed My Life and Life That Changed My Music. The book is a series of 50 essays, each tied to a different song. In this conversation, he chats about several of them, including one that taught him how to be a better musician, one that he hated but grew to love, and the song he understands you love, but he just can't bring himself to do that. Our conversation kicks off after a song featured from that book. Here's Otis Redding with The Dock of the Bay. It's World Cafe.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
This is World Cafe. That is Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay. One of the songs featured in the new book from Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. It's called World Within a Song, Music That Changed My Life and Life That Changed My Music. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. You called that Otis song the most immediately welcoming song you've ever heard, so I thought it was only appropriate to play it here. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for playing that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much great music in this book. You know, it seems like a dream concept to tackle. Can you tell us about the premise?
Well, one of the things I enjoyed writing about in my memoir was creativity and songwriting and things like that. And then I wrote a book about songwriting. And I guess from the experience of writing those two books, it sort of struck me that the main thing that I think about is other people's songs. And then I think I've really looked at my life through the lens of other people's songs and poured myself into other people's songs and allowed other people's songs to contain my memories and shape the way I view the world. And so in a way, it just felt like, well, that would actually be the most intimate book to write.
Yeah, and these essays, you know, a lot of them reveal a little bit more about you. Like, I was surprised that you're sort of what kind of made a dent in your musical mind as a young child is the first essay, the first chapter in the book, Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. Has that been like a through line through your life? Like you knew when you were 13, yeah, it was Smoke on the Water that got me in and it's something you'd never forgotten?
No, I think it's just me looking back at from 56 years old and acknowledging the truth of the matter. At the time that I figured out how to play that riff on a guitar, on an acoustic guitar in my cousin's basement, I didn't know what it was. I just was just like, that was just something I had heard. That was a melody I'd heard, or, you know, I didn't know it was called Smoke on the Water. I didn't know Deep Purple from Shinola. It's a fascinating thing. I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that riff sounds so good on a guitar so quickly for most people that I think it's a real gateway drug to the magic of playing an instrument and feeling strings vibrate beneath your fingers. And the other day, my wife found a clip of our two sons playing Smoke on the Water, my Spencer playing drums and Sammy playing the riff on a bass. And they were maybe 10 and 14. How old are they on that?
Nine and, it was Spencer's 13th birthday.
Oh, 9 and 13, yeah.
Yeah, there's something primal and universal about it. I imagine a lot of people have picked up a guitar. It's one of the first things that you would think to play or learn to play. And now let's put that earworm into people's brains for a little bit. Let's hear a little bit of that gargantuan riff from Deep Purple. Here's Smoke on the Water. I apologize, folks. It's going to be in your head all day. Nothing wrong with that, though. We're talking with Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. His new book is called World Within a Song, Music That Changed My Life and Life That Changed My Music. You know, one of the things that I like about the essays is that there's the opportunity for you to learn a little bit about how music works. An example is Randy Newman's In Germany Before the War. Can you talk a little bit about what this song taught you about songs as a whole?
Well, if I was more versed in music theory, I think I would be able to talk about this in a way that was more helpful to other musicians. But I'm not. I can only talk about what it created for me in terms of aspiration. The music is so clearly telling a part of the story in that song that the lyrics do not even reference. And I think the first time I was really struck by how powerful that is, how magical that is, how you can get somebody to see something that's not there, that's not even being said, just by rubbing some notes together that don't necessarily fit. And the orchestration on that song creates an atmosphere that colors in such a vibrant way, a story that I think would be pale in comparison if it was explicitly stated. Learning that or hearing that as a young person gave me a lot of confidence in the power of music to enhance lyrics and why they exist together, and why you can't just tell somebody a melody.
Yeah. Let's listen in. It's Randy Newman here on World Cafe.
In Germany, before the war, there was a man who owned a store. In 1934, in Dusseldorf, and every night at 5:09, he'd cross the park down to the Rhine, and he'd sit there by the shore. I'm looking at the river, but I'm thinking of the sea. I'm thinking of the sea. I'm looking at the river, but I'm thinking of the sea. A little girl has lost her way, with hair of gold and eyes of gray, reflected in his glasses as he watches her. A little girl has lost her way, with hair of gold and eyes of gray.
Randy Newman, In Germany Before the War, one of the songs featured in Jeff Tweedy's new book, which is called World Within a Song. In your story about Death or Glory from The Clash, you point out something that any young person searching for an identity might do, which is to emulate your heroes. I have done that in other embarrassing ways, but for you, that involved buying a beret. Can you talk a little bit about that feeling where you're like, these bands are so important to you and you end up stealing more than just ideas and songs from them?
Yeah, I think there was a sense of belonging to punk rock that I really aspired to before I really had any contact with anybody else that listened to that music. I felt like I wanted to belong to that, but I honestly, to this day, I'm still a person who's never been able to get the fashion right of of anything, really. When I used to go to punk rock shows when I was a kid, I had no idea where they got those clothes. It was always a mystery to me. But yeah, a beret was a really simple statement. My mom bought the beret for me when we were on a trip to New York, not to give away the whole story. But it was a real internal battle that I recognize still exists, you know, between this high-minded, inspired, young, romantic-minded kid who believes in the power of reinvention and becoming something other than who you are through sheer will and imagination, and what I call the Belleville Jeff, which is the side of my brain that just goes, what, I'm not good enough? You know, who do you think you are? And I think that I just included that story because I think it's something that plays out still on stage. I mean, maybe many times on any given night, you know, there's a part of me that understands I'm in showbiz doing a show. And then there's a Belleville Jeff side going, just play your guitar.
No persona needed, right?
Well, I mean, there is a persona, whether you want one or not, I think is the point, you know. And certainly after you've been around for a long time and been on a lot of stages, one gets projected onto you. And I find it easier to tolerate myself and the profession I'm in than when I spend the least amount of energy participating and curating and maintaining the persona side of it.
Makes sense. In the chapter, you said something that didn't really have any follow-up, but I love the line and I wanted to dig just a little deeper, which is, you know, you said, The Clash makes you cringe, but you still love them like family. You know, The Clash at this point in time are pretty much universally revered. What made them cringe to you?
Well, to me, I mean, there's a lot of cringeworthy material in the political posturing of a diplomat's son and a bunch, you know, like it's like basically turning rebellion into fashion. And, you know, I think that they were well-meaning, and I think that I probably agree with a lot of their politics overall, but it's not something I would feel comfortable with. It's an appropriation that we probably wouldn't tolerate in many bands
today. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You know, Sandinista, you know, things like that. I don't know. You could be supportive of those causes. I think you could probably make an argument for singing about them. But I don't know if you put their clothes on and pretend to be that, which I think, right or wrong, is how I feel like the Clash kind of looks to me now. And I also say in that, I still love them. I still love them like family. I feel like they're part of my origin, you know, like I originated from the passion on those records. But I still find those things unnecessary. I think the music is more powerful than that, and I question it more than I did at the time.
Makes sense. Let's focus on the music for just a minute. Here's Death or Glory from The Clash on World Cafe. Death or Glory on World Cafe. It's one of the songs featured in my guest's new book. It's Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. Coming up later, a performance with Wilco featuring songs from their new album, Cousin. But right now, talking about the book, World Within a Song on the Cafe. It's no surprise you can be vulnerable and say, like, hey, I kind of got this wrong. And this is such a great example of an artist or musician who'd be scorned by someone, say, maybe listening to The Clash. ABBA's Dancing Queen. Can you tell me about that journey from I hate this to this is great?
Well, yeah, there were really arbitrary lines drawn around the things you were allowed to like and not like. And especially if you were building your identity on the notion that you were special enough to like punk rock in a community where there weren't many people like you. It's really dumb. It's a dumb thing to hate. It's a dumb thing to, I think we really, my generation got really, really good at it. I think really good at judging people based on music they consume, the clothes they wear, a lot of things maybe that people still do, but I really think we excelled at it in that particular weird period of time. So, you know, ABBA was really, really firmly entrenched on the opposite side, on the enemy territory side, for lots of reasons. It was slick pop music, it was disco, it was a lot of things that we were in the manifesto, you know, that we weren't supposed to like. And I don't really remember the exact time that veil lifted, but I remember what it was like. I was standing in a grocery store or some store where they had a speaker system, and I remember just standing underneath the speaker hearing Dancing Queen and thinking to myself, this is the most amazing music I've ever heard in my life. How do you do this? And I think it was probably because I had started making records and I had started exploring what it takes to make a record like that. And the mystery of, I still don't know how ABBA sounds like ABBA. I don't think anybody else has ever sounded like ABBA. You know, that is enough for me to say they're geniuses. That music is so pleasurable and so profound and so deeply felt that it brings tears to my eyes.
Let's let it wash over us, folks. A little bit of Dancing Queen. It's ABBA on World Cafe.
Friday night and the lights are low. Looking up for a place to go.
Jeff Tweedy had a reappraisal of that song, Dancing Queen. It's ABBA here on World Cafe. We are talking with Jeff about his new book, World Within a Song. I denied myself years of enjoying, say, like Hall & Oates or Neil Diamond because my Crass bumper sticker or, you know, my Subhumans patch would never allow those things to coexist. But you grow out of, you know, you grow out of it, hopefully earlier than later, right?
For sure. And, you know, I have to be honest. I think that there was some lived example for me, too, or modeled behavior. My wife ran a rock club in Chicago called Lounge Acts. And even at the time I started going there and hanging out with her a lot, I was maybe under the impression that people that were in bands only liked music that sounded like the band they were in. And they all had philosophies that were perfectly sound and impenetrable to other types of music and other types of expression and things like that. And what I found when I would meet all of these different bands is the better the band was, the more wide-ranging their individual tastes were, the more excited they were about pop music, the more excited they were about anything. The bands that I've respected, even if they had a really narrow presentation on stage of what they wanted to do, generally the best bands had really, you know, just curiosity about the world. They were more interested than just hearing things that sounded like what they did.
So a change of heart on ABBA, but some things just are impenetrable, and everyone's got a different impenetrable thing. Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You. What gets under your skin when it comes to this song?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't like it. It's magic doesn't work on me. And that's, I think it is a really controversial thing to admit. It clearly works on so many people, and it's clearly me. I would never make the argument that that's a bad song. But the point of that chapter is more about wanting to, so many of the chapters are just gushing about the music that I'm interested in talking about. And for the book to feel realistic to me, I thought I had to cop to not being so altruistic all the time about, you know, music.
You can't love everything.
Can't love everything, and everything's not made for you. And I tried to pick a few things that I thought were so massive and inarguably successful that they could take any slings and arrows from below, you know, from me. You know, the other chapter, which includes some negativity, is the one on Bon Jovi, and it's just because, I mean, I think they'll be okay.
Let's play a little bit of Dolly's "I Will Always Love You" here on World Cafe.
If I should stay, but I know I'll think of you. each step of the way. And I will always love you. I will always love you.
All-time classic from Dolly Parton, I Will Always Love You, on World Cafe. We're talking with Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. His new book is called World Within a Song. I want to go out with the song that closes the book in the last chapter of the book, Mavis Staples, I'll Take You There. There aren't enough superlatives for Mavis as a performer and a person, but we can try. How did the song become the official first song of any party playlist at the Tweedy household?
Well, I mean, you have to ask my wife that. She's sitting in this room with me right now, but she probably doesn't want to talk. But that's a single that she had as a young woman. And it's just, it ended up on our jukebox. We have a jukebox in our living room, and it's just a real welcoming environment to find yourself in, like dancing in the living room with your friends to I'll Take You There.
See, now that's, but now thinking about it, like that's a song that I kind of want to know the psyche of someone who goes, it just turns me off.
Well, let me contrast the two songs that we're talking about, and I Will Always Love You versus I'll Take You There. The yous in both of those songs feel very, very different. I'll Take You There feels very, very inclusive to me. Like it's not being sung to a lover, or it's being sung to everybody. And the thing about I Will Always Love You, I think people have to suspend disbelief and put themselves into the character of the song, the singer, or be the person that's being sung to. There's kind of two roles in that. I think the song I'll Take You There to me feels more like it's just an embrace of a broader concept, you know, than individual love. The real simple part of it is there's a place where nobody's crying, or like, you know, we have like what we want. We want everybody to be okay. We want peace. We want love. It's naive, but it's to deny it is to make the world, I think, actively make the world less worth being a part of. And that's what that song is about to me. Like I was in the face of enormous obstacles to that idea, especially at the time that song came out. So, yeah, I think that's part of the reason to me that song maybe is the mountaintop, maybe is harder to criticize musically or spiritually, you know.
Definitely. And a great way to take us out of this interview. Why don't we close with it? Here's Mavis Staples, I'll Take You There.
I know a place.
Yourself. It's the Staple Singers here on World Cafe. It's a song featured in Jeff Tweedy's book, World Within a Song, Music That Changed My Life and Life That Changed My Music. Tweedy's got a new solo album out called Twilight Override. It's coming September 26th, and it's a triple record. Can't play you the entire album just yet, but we do have a mini concert with Wilco playing songs from their latest record, Cousin. That's in a minute on World Cafe.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I'm Kaleo, continuing this supersized hour of Jeff Tweedy and Wilco. Here's a mini concert from 2023 where they play some songs off their then new album, Cousin, and drop in a classic like Sky Blue Sky. Here's Wilco getting us going with Cousin on World Cafe.
Never gonna see you again. smoke. It's too cold to be unclear. I laugh until I'm old if it wasn't my life. If it wasn't me and you. I'm never gonna see you again. I'm evicted.
Chance to be free. Oh, I outside with you. If you side with me,
thank you.
Recorded live for World Cafe, it's Wilco with Meant to Be from their latest studio album, Cousin. Huge thanks to Wilco, along with Jeff Tweedy, for the performance and conversation. Jeff Tweedy's latest book, World Within a Song, is available now. New triple album coming September 26th called Twilight Override. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Really enjoyed my time with Jeff Tweedy. Fascinating cat. If you missed any of our conversation, you can find that and several interviews with him and his band Wilco at worldcafe.org. Closing out the hour with Tame Impala from 2020's The Slow Rush. Here's Patience. Tame Impala takes us to the end of the hour here on World Cafe. Just about out of time, but before I go, I want to thank our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible, a show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org, and by the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, dedicated to improving the learning experience for America's students by sharing what works in pre-K through 12 education at edutopia.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. Coming up this hour, let's not bury the headline. New music.